Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, May 15th, 2023. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. Just sharing a few helpful tips for everyone joining via phone calls. You can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise hands or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself when speaking. And to raise hand, you can go under reactions and click on raise hand icon. That will raise and lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it's helpful for us because then we know that somebody's trying to make a comment and we can have one speaker at a time. At this point, everyone should be on mute. I would appreciate if you can follow that because it helps us eliminate any external noise. We do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, I would request everyone to please state your name before your comments. It helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is. Chair Semaphore, I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud and then take the roll call of the committee members today.
Sure, please go ahead and do so.
Thank you. Before I start reading the agenda, I would also share it on my screen for the convenience for the members. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment. And if somebody can confirm if my screen is shared at this point.
Yes.
Perfect. Yes.
Great. Thank you. So after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. After that, Chair Semaphore will review and go through the motion of approval for today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will have customer service report, followed by commendations report. 4:15, we will have Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:20, Antoine Johnson will give a presentation about eligibility certification process. At 4:45, we will have Allison Anderson to give an update about Metro Access web booking. At 4:50, Christian Blake will discuss Abilities Right program. Mr. Blake will also give us an update about Metro Access minivans at 5:05. At 5:10, Mr. Blake will be providing us with an update on Metro Access fares. At 5:20, Mr. Blake will again give an update about Metro Access pickup window change. At 5:30, we will begin the public comment section and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. At this point, I would stop sharing my screen and going on to roll calls of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy. Tawan Farmer. Deborah Fisher. Marcy Goldstein, Timothy Howard, Steve Kaffin, I believe Steve is connected with us on this meeting, Thomas Mangrum, Philippa Mazel, Sandy Newsom.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Here.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush?
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samuelford?
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan? Kelly Simonov? And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. For any presenters for this, for today's Metro Access meeting, if you have any visual presentation, I just want to give you a friendly reminder that please describe your presentation for the convenience of our AAC members and members of the public who are blind or have low vision. Thank you. For any public comments, we will go through the announcement at that point, Chair Samuelford. At this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you. So first thing is we're going to do a approval of the agenda. Are there any additions to this fully packed agenda? Hearing the crickets, can I get a motion to approve the agenda as is for today?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions. The motion carries to move today's agenda as is. Next will be the minutes from the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting from April of 2023. Are there any changes, additions, suggestions? Hearing the crickets, could I put a motion to move April's subcommittee meeting minutes as is?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, the motion carries to move the April 2023 subcommittee max minutes as is. Next, I am looking at Ms. Allison Anderson and Kay Clark to give their presentations.
Thank you, Mr. Semaford. Again, my name is Allison Anderson with Metro Access, and I'd like to present Ms. Kay Clark with MTM to give the public comment resolution presentation from our last meeting. Kay?
Thank you, Mr. Semaford and Ms. Anderson. Can you hear me okay?
We absolutely yes. can. Thank
okay,
you.
Perfect. Okay. Well, again, good afternoon, everyone. There were actually no outstanding public comments to address from either April 8th AC or Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. During the month of April, Metro Access received a total of 334 commendations and broken down by contracting partner. We have First Transit at 64, Transdev at 79, the OCC for MB, that was 59, Challenger 52, Next Transportation 73, MTM 1, Eligibility 3, and Abilities Ride 3. And this concludes my report today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Any customer outreach followed by Michael Wilson Award?
At this time, we do not have any outreach specifically to report. However, any communications or I'm coming up with a blank. Reports that we get from customers into our office, they're all being followed up on and resolved with those customers individually.
Thank you so much. So next is Michael Wilson Award, and I know we have a recipient of AAC Metro Access Safety Award.
We absolutely do. So at this time, I'd like to present Mr. Robbie Worth with Next Transportation to do those recognitions for the Michael Wilson Award, as well as the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. Robbie?
Is off, Robbie, but I don't hear a voice behind it.
I don't know if he's having technical difficulties. I give him 15 seconds.
All right. All right.
Yeah, we still can't hear you, Robbie.
The mic is off.
All right, let me go ahead and move forward. And if he jumps in, I'm going to let him jump in. How's everybody doing? My name is Adrian Jones, General Manager, Next Transportation Virginia location. And today I'm going to present the Michael Wilson Award, and that goes to Muhammad Ibrahim, who is online with us today. Muhammad was born in Sudan, and he moved to the United States in 2001. He became a professional Metro Access operator in 2008 and worked for MV Transportation in the Chantilly base before transferring to Diamond Transportation family in July of 2013. Muhammad loves driving and assisting people. He believes that we should treat our customers like family, and that has been his motivation for the past 15 years. During his 15 years of service, Ibrahim has demonstrated outstanding professionalism and has provided excellent customer service to his customers, coworkers, and the general public. Muhammad comes to work every morning ready to start his shift with a smile and a positive attitude. His positivity, enthusiasm, and can-do attitude has made him a great asset to the Metro Access family. And so I ask you all to help me to congratulate him on this award. I believe he's receiving the plaque there. Mr. Muhammad, if you have words that you want to express at this particular time, I would give you about 15 seconds to do so, sir.
Want to say something? Yes, first I thank all the people, they follow us as a driver, and I thank all the people in the top as the leader, from the training, from the safety manager, from the supervisors. These are the people who help us to do this service as the best we can. And we work, all of us as a family. We love each other. We try to help each other. Thank you, Metro Access. Thank you, MV. Thank you, MTM. Thank you, my management. Thank you. Appreciate all you did it for me. Appreciate very much what you say and what you did for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you for all you do.
All right. And then also, in turn, for the Metro Access Safety Award, we have Ms. Rosa Arias. Now, Rosa was born in Tupaca, El Salvador, and she moved to the United States in 1987. And she became a professional Metro Access operator in May of 2007, worked for MV Transportation as well in Chantilly before transferring to Diamond Transportation family in about July of 2013. Now, Rosa enjoys interacting with people and giving back to her community. She is safety conscious and committed to a safety culture that is geared towards providing our customers with safe transportation. Now, when Rosa is not working, she loves cooking for her family, which includes her daughter, her son, and two granddaughters. She always enjoys walking around in her neighborhood in her free time, and she loves being a part of the Metro Access family. So we're going to allow Rosa at this time to address us, but we congratulate you, Rosa.
Thank you for everything. And thank you for this work, and
we appreciate you. She told me you were shy, Rosa.
Thank you for your service to all of our customers.
We appreciate you, Rosa. Thank you so much, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
And next, so now we're gonna go delve into the agenda. And Mr. Johnson, you are up next from eligibility. We have not heard. You had a presentation. Of course, the pandemic was one reason, and y'all were closed for several years. And now we want to see what's new, what's going on, and just a nice brief overview of all the wonderful things y'all do.
Okay, no, not a problem. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Antoine Johnson. I'm the operations manager in the Office of Eligibility. And just like Mr. Summerford said, I'm going to give you an overview of eligibility and let you know what's going on now. And, you know, if you have a couple questions, I'll be happy to answer. basically we've switched up some things in eligibility. At one point we were bringing everyone in. Now we're doing it. Well, we'll start with COVID. During COVID, we had to switch some things up. So we are accepting applications via fax. You can mail it. You could drop it off. Or you could fax mail, snail mail. Or you want to scan it over. So we're accepting that applications that way. We're allowing customers to send in the application along with a copy of their state IDs. These are for the new customers, customers that are recertifying. They're welcome to send a new picture if they want to update their picture, but generally we'll use the old picture. But basically once we get the application, the complete application, we have 21 days to process it. We try to do it in 2 to 3 weeks. Currently we're getting about 200 to 300 applications a week. And like I said, people are getting it in however, whatever works for you, that's what we'll accept it. Once we receive the completed application, people that are recertifying, if we have any questions, we'll reach out to the customer and do like an over the phone interview. We are bringing in some customers that we need to bring in, but for the most part, we are working with customers based on their ability to get the information to us. So if customers aren't able to email, we accept text if we need to. We're working with everyone. Anu, did you have that
the list I sent yes. you?
Yeah.
Would you like me to share that now?
Can you share that, please?
Sure, absolutely. Give me one question.
I know I'm a visual learner. Some people are visual, so they can see, the information. But
and that's why I sent you that email on Friday.
Okay, I believe my screen
is. There it is. It's up. Yeah. Yeah. So as I stated before, basically we need a complete application. The customer does part A. And your healthcare provider does part B. We are asking that you provide a color copy of a state or federal identification because when customers fax those, it comes out black and white and it's real dark, especially if your tone is dark. We can't use it to make, because we use that picture to also make the metric. It's confirming your identity, like this is the person applying, but it's also, we use that to, for the Metro Access ID. So the fax copies, we can't really do anything with it. So we ask if you provide a color copy. However, whatever, we'll work with you. So if you have any concerns, just call the eligibility department and we'll figure out a way to get the information. same with recertifying customers. We need that part A and part B. Not so much focusing on the ID because we have you in the system. Like I said, you can email it to eligibility@wmata.com. You can fax it. You can send it to us in the mail, or you can drop it off at our new office at 655 Virginia Avenue. We're right across from the Font Plaza on the 7th and D side. You have to walk around our building. We have our own entrance that is open Monday through Friday from 8 until 4. Like I stated earlier, once the application is received, if they have questions or concerns, some doctors are way more detailed. Some doctors don't give us much or nothing. So we try to call the customer and, do like an on-the-phone interview. I mean, if we need to bring you in, we'll bring you in. Like I said, please allow up to 21 days for processing once we receive the complete application. I stress that because we get a lot of times the application is incomplete. The doctor didn't sign it or didn't put your ICD codes, your different things of that nature. So once we get the complete application, we're able to process it along with your ID and mail you out your ID card. Some other things that the Office of Eligibility does, we are able to, and Doris has a question. Give me 1 second. Let me just talk about the other things we offer, and then I can, you know, answer the question. We also are able to, so if you have trouble with your online web booking and you need your password reset, we are able to do that for you. You know, we update your phone number, your address. We need your address. A lot of people, they give the address when they're booking trips, but they need to call eligibility when you move or something changes. So we'll have it, and then it'll coincide with both sides. But if you only tell the operation side when you're booking your trip, it's only going to be for those rides for that day. So call the Office of Eligibility if you need to update your phone number, your address, something of that nature. The Office of Eligibility also offers travel training, where we have instructors that can go out to your school, to your job. They meet at the churches, at the libraries, in the whole Washington metropolitan area, where they can offer travel training. So if you want to learn how to use the bus or train, or you have questions of how to get to one point or another using transit, we are able to assist you with that with free travel training. That's basically about it. I guess I can ask them some questions.
So my first question is, when I look at this application and the one that I recently submitted, at least from the cover, it's a little bit different. My suggestion probably is see what's already there online, and you may want to update it with this one. Because at least the face page is much different about new, old applicants, and it still had the 600 Fifth Street address on it.
Okay, so we have a whole lot of applications out there in the world. Everyone has our application. Doctors have them on file for their customers. I don't know. We have some old ones out there. So I guess at some point those will be gone. Mm-hmm. But when you call the Office of Eligibility, this is what we're telling, and this is actually a cover sheet we are using right now to put on those old applications until we get the new applications completed. So I apologize for the mix-up with that, but if you do call us, though, we will let you know what's going on.
Okay. All righty. And I see hands up to ask you questions. One last piece is your office does do reduced fare, so you may want to talk about that.
I apologize. Our office also offers, we sell senior cards now. So if you're 65 and older, come on down and get your senior card. And we also, for individuals who are 64 and under and have some type of disability, we have the reduced fare card that will get you the discount on the bus and the train. So if you're a senior, you bring your ID down showing you're 65 or older, your state ID, your passport, something with your name and age and your picture on it. We're able to sell that card that is $2. And the reduced fare card, it doesn't cost anything to apply, but you do have to complete an application. It's not as long as the Metro Access application. It's really a one pager, but your doctor will need to complete it. But if you have Medicare, the red, white, and blue Medicare card, that will approve you for the reduced fare program. Or if you're a veteran, we need to see your letter with your percentage on it.
Thank you so much for that comprehensive overview. I see many hands, and Anu's going to help me. I see Doris followed by Phil, Vanessa, and I see you, Janice, but I want to take committee members first, and then I will swing to you, so long as it's related to eligibility. So everyone's getting 3 minutes, up to 3 minutes, and Anu's going to manage that time for me, starting with Doris.
Dear Samuelford, this is Anu. Just to say, for some reason, when I sound the timer, it's not, the voice is not coming through, so I will have to literally tell the person speaking 30 seconds ahead of time and then 3 minutes. So please do watch out for my sound.
So first is going to be Doris, followed by Phil, and then Vanessa.
And then Darnese Bush.
Yes. And I haven't forgotten you, Janice. Okay, so help me with that. There's a lot I see today. So go ahead, Doris.
All right. I was wondering a couple of things. One was you mentioned you need to send color copies of your ID. In Virginia, right now, our personal IDs are black and white. So how will you handle that? And then also, I'm wondering when you're in when you're under consideration and if you don't get assessed in 21 days, are you still eligible for rides until your processing is over with? And the last thing I wanted to ask was whether there is now any consideration being given to changing the eligibility so that people can be served in the entire WMATA area, because there are many people, at least over here in Northern Virginia, I am very aware of it, working at the Independence Center of Northern Virginia, that there are many folks in Northern Virginia who are living in the Northwest suburbs and out in Western Fairfax County who are limited in the places they can go because they're not grandfathered, and by no fault of their own, they weren't adults when the grandfathering started. They moved into the area more recently and such. So I'm wondering whether any consideration is being given by WMATA to changing the system back to what was the old system and serving everybody in
I think we got the gist. Mr. Johnson, I'm only taking this one because this is really not the eligibility office. That's Metro Access and the Metro Access service policy. And I can just say right now, Doris, there is no plans of expanding the service area at this point, either for all customers or a limited number of customers. Right now, the service area has been frozen and it's still larger than the fixed route service area as per the ADA. But the idea of expanding it, let's say beyond 3/4 of a mile of the new phase two Silver Line stations in Loudoun County or other parts of the area that perhaps once was.
No, I didn't say Loudoun County. I meant only.
I'm using that as an example,
Doris. Area of Fairfax County.
Doris, I'm using that as an example.
Perhaps Montgomery and PG.
Okay. So the answer, I was using Loudoun as an example, but the point is, any example similar to that, expanding the service area beyond the fixed route service area, beyond what we currently have, is not under consideration at this time.
But what we're talking about is reverting back to the original service area, so it's not expansion.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Reverting back to the... Okay,
I'm tired of seeing people in places like Burke who can't get served.
I understand.
Young people who are trying to get jobs and stuff. Okay. But that's my advocacy.
I hear you. So then let me answer your question directly. At this moment, yes, reverting back to the original Metro Access service area is not under consideration.
I got that. But so the other two questions, if you would.
So I'll let Mr. Johnson answer those as they relate to eligibility. Go ahead.
So as far as the ID situation, with those IDs, at least they are white or lighter to use. We are able to use those. Some customers just take a picture of it and they can email it, or they can take a picture of it and send it via text.
But it's black and white is the point.
Yeah, I understand, but it's mainly, we mainly have problems with faxed IDs, the way that comes. But the Virginia ones, we haven't had problems making those IDs. As long as it's a clear copy of it, we can use it.
And the service, if it takes more than 21 days?
We'll still have presumptive eligibility where you can use the service while we're making a determination, but we
but the ADA
that's still available there. If we need to. The regional ADA, yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Doris.
Yeah.
All right. Next is going to be Phil, and then followed by Vanessa.
Yes. Good afternoon. This is Phil Posner. My question is, there will be a number of people with disabilities coming into meetings at DC that are currently eligible in their home location. How do they apply for the limited access to Metro Access during the time that they'll be in DC for their meetings?
Good afternoon. Yes, we can help them, not a problem at all. What we ask is their organization that they're coming from. If they do it ahead of time, they can send us, the organization can email us their, it's just a brief snapshot of their eligibility, just showing that they have services somewhere else. If you're already here, if you bring your ID, we are able to get you a temporary card where you can use
right.
So just the train, or if you want Metro Access, we're able to get you visitor service where you can use Metro Access.
That's the key, right? That's what I was going to say. The official term is we want folks that request visitor status, and the eligibility office handles this hundreds of times a year. So it's a no frills, no drama process.
Okay, super. That's great. So they should just contact visitor services, and then you can do that. For them. I know we've done that in the past for the MS Society and for PCORI, and they've called ahead. And it used to be at least 3 weeks ahead. Is it still 3 weeks ahead?
We would like that. That way you can make sure everything is in place before you come here and come to the area.
Okay. Thank you. I will forward that to the different groups. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Next is Vanessa, followed by Darnice. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Yes, hi, this is Vanessa. Well, Mr. Posner really took my question, but he was staying on a local. I was going to ask you to explain state to state, like when someone goes to the convention, National Federation of Blind Conventions, or anywhere that they go, if you can. And I guess it's the same policy that you just explained to Mr. Posner. So that was my question.
So in that case, all you would do is, as our customer, you would just call and say, look, I'm visiting such and such. Can you send my information to this fax number or this email address? And then what we'll do, we don't tell all you, Brendan, it's just enough to say, yes, he or she is eligible. They require a wheelchair or whatever your requirements are.
Alert.
And we send that over to them.
And so, and that's just... 21 days is good for?
Oh, no, we just, like I said, a couple of weeks is better. That way you can make sure.
No, I mean, when they're staying away at the location they're at, how long is that temporary pass?
It's 21 trips.
21 trips.
Yeah.
Okay. Or is it 21 days a year is what I have been accustomed up to in the past under the ADA? So is it 21 trips or 21 days a year in a calendar year?
See, now you caught me on that.
Y'all went with days too. I mean, days.
Yeah, because there's a difference. That's why I asked that question.
It's 21 trips, I believe. It's 21 trips.
Mr. Okay. Blake?
So generally, yeah, and I'm not trying to disrupt. Mm-hmm. I know what I've said to customers because I like to be very accommodating. And let's take Mr. Johnson's position as the official one, but the unofficial position that I give customers is you get 30 days to use the service. If you're here more than 30 days, rather it's 30 consecutive days or intermittently, then you need to apply for Metro Access service. 30 just makes it easier. The official is probably 21, but you call me, I'm going to say 30, and we're gonna work with you. But if you're here more than a month, which is essentially 30 days, if you're here more than a month using Metro Access, then you need to apply for Metro Access eligibility status.
So we're talking about the other states.
So let's say you're going tomorrow to South Carolina. If you want to call Mr. Johnson today, he can send them the information. Now, will they be ready for you tomorrow? We can't answer that question. So you should reach out to the individual states to see how much time they need in advance for you. And as far as how much you can use their service as a visitor, that's all up to them. We can't answer for
each state. Each state is different. Correct. ADA.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Next is Darnice.
Okay.
Press off to show or hide meeting controls. Alert. Press yes, or double tap. Yeah. Click to exit. Alert. Hands now lower.
I don't know what that noise is.
There we go. Thank you, Vanessa. Go ahead, Darnice.
I don't know whether you answered this or not when you were talking about eligibility. But I'm affiliated with Rehabilitation Services Administration and other groups that have counselors, and they previously had allowed the counselors to sign instead of a physician. So do you still do that?
We never have done that.
No, we don't do that.
Never.
It has to be a doctor. We need a medical doctor to stress to us why an individual's disability prevents him or her from using public transportation. Not a nurse practitioner, not a
medical doctor.
It has to be a medical doctor.
A licensed healthcare provider, yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Next is, I see two people from the audience. Is there any other AAC members before I go to these two people?
No, we only have two members of the public at this point.
Janice, I'm going to let you go first. And this is related to this topic of eligibility. That's correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, go ahead. 3 minutes.
Understanding the recertification of eligible customers and that some individuals only have temporary disabilities, would your office consider making a change for those customers who have permanent disabilities so that we do not have to continue to recertify every 3 years?
That's good.
WMATA doesn't have a permanent card. Right. So we need to touch base with the customers because sometimes disabilities do change. It may get worse. We need different things happen over the years. So we don't have a permanent card. So at this time, we do need to touch base with our customers.
But the question is, would you take into consideration making a policy change? Because we don't have one now doesn't mean
they're saying no.
Right. Yes. Well, if I could just chime in, that's a very good question. And we get that question often. So Mr. Johnson pointed out one thing that sometimes disabilities can change. But more importantly, we're not judging necessarily the disability changing. It's the investment in fixed route accessibility that changes. And Metro, already perhaps the nation's most accessible system, continues to invest hundreds of millions of dollars into making the system more and more accessible. So the fact that your disability won't change does not mean that your ability to use the bus and rail system, which all Metro Access is an alternative to that, that may dictate whether or not you're eligible for paratransit. So no, there at this point, there is no consideration that this will always be a system inaccessible to any particular individual. So therefore, we need to continue the recertification process. However, what we have done is made the recertification process much easier in the sense that, as Mr. Johnson pointed out, we're doing what we call administrative recertification, where we say, in this particular case, looking at all things in general, including our investments in fixed route service, this person can simply submit an application but doesn't have to come in for an interview. But the idea that you're in Metro Access and you're in there for life at least for me. So while I'm here, at least for me, I don't believe that's the spirit of the ADA and what the whole purpose of it was set up for. If that's the case, we can just create it, stop investing in fixed route, and just say you all are stuck with Metro Access for the rest of your life. That's not the attitude we want to take. We want to say you have a disability, but we're going to continue to strive so that you're riding fixed route service with everybody and not stuck to a separate but equal service.
Thank you. Who is guest number two?
Okay, Chair Samerford, there is somebody on the phone with last four numbers 7749. So if you would come off of mute and ask your questions.
And please let it be related to eligibility to the topic and who you are.
Nikki Singh, Ornandine Singh. Yes, and my question and comment relates to eligibility.
Okay, go ahead.
I've been listening to the conversation so far, and I guess I've had a couple of questions and concerns as I've tried to navigate this eligibility process. I'm fairly new to using Metro Access, and from what I understand how it's supposed to work, an application is submitted with relevant details, and there's a portion filled out by the doctor. And then at some point, there is a determination made, and then the ID card is supposed to be sent with some supporting documentation. I guess I've had a lot of just challenges in getting an answer and a final determination on my status. And this has been going on since early to mid-February of 2023. That's the first thing. I'm just not sure how long it's supposed to be before you get an answer. And I'm just kind of confused with some of the communication, because I've gotten responses saying that I'm presumptively eligible. I've gotten other responses where I'm fully eligible, no longer in the presumptive status, but I don't have an ID card or any kind of documentation that I could show someone, like an employer, like a complimentary service, that I have Metro Access. So I guess I'm just trying to figure out how this is actually supposed to work, because it's been a little challenging. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we're going to need is if you could put in the chat box, or maybe you could just call, instead of you putting in a chat box, you could just call me tomorrow. But I can tell you right now, you are eligible for Metro Access just based on what you said.
Yeah.
You don't have a card. If that's what's happening, I could get you a card tomorrow. Between myself and Mr. Johnson.
Yeah.
You'll have an ID card tomorrow.
Need your information, and I will reach out to you, and we'll figure out what's going on.
Gonna put my number in the chat box. You give me a call tomorrow, and
I'm joining this Zoom by a phone, won't be able to see the chat. Sorry.
Mr. Blake, if I
get a name, I can look it up in the system.
Well, we don't want to put her name out in the.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Johnson and Mr. Blake, we have the phone number.
Yeah,
so I will share that for you to follow up. Thank you.
Okay. And now I was going to say it's after 4:30, because if you wanted to test to see if you're eligible, you could have called and booked the trip for tomorrow or some other time. But this is what we'll do. We'll give you a call tomorrow, and we'll get your card out to you, delivered to your home tomorrow. Okay.
Okay. I appreciate the help.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. Any other person for eligibility? Because we need to move on to other agenda topics. Rico Dancy. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rico, as it relates to the topic of eligibility.
Rico, you need to unmute.
Okay. I'm sorry. Question for the application. When you call the last four, 2700, and then you call the couple server, they say we no longer accept in-person dropper off. So what if a person wants to drop off the application, can they drop it off, or do they always have to mail it in or have the doctor send me in.
And I think that brings me to Mr. Johnson, when I said with my application recently, when I downloaded it from the WMATA site, I think it, you may want to check. It's the old one with those instructions.
Okay. Okay.
Because I have a godmother who is 65. She applied for the service. And when she called the 2700, the lady said to email it, she don't have an email. So if a person is 65, don't have an email address, she used the old way, the phone. Mm-hmm. So
if you want to bring it in,
you can drop it off.
Our doors are open every day. Customers are coming in for various reasons, primarily the senior smart trip card now, but our doors are open. Mm-hmm. So anytime somebody wants to come in and bring in their application, they can. I mean, I'm not going to call anybody's name, but just the other day, a member of the AAC was at the building for one reason, and they also brought their application, or they brought an application for a friend of theirs, and they dropped it off in person, and I handed it to Mr. Johnson. So the doors are open.
Can I ask another question? Do we need to have the person stay ID with us when we drop it off?
Yes, because we're going to make a copy of it.
Okay. That's all you know. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, next I'm going to jump to Ms. Anderson on web booking. And again, we can invite eligibility back if there's high interest from this subcommittee. They'll be happy to come back again. So go ahead, Ms. Anderson, with your update on Metro Access web booking, seeing hopefully there's been resolution.
All right. Again, good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is Allison Anderson with Metro Access. We're not quite there yet, mm-hmm. Mr. Semaphore, but I do have some updates for the committee. So first of all, the testing of the new bill to resolve the web booking issues that you and Mr. Torres have brought forth has been completed by Max IT. So that's one hurdle that has been met. Max IT right now is waiting on Trapeze. That's our system provider for paratransit system to provide the release build. Once that release build is provided, we anticipate 3 to 4 weeks for the change order approval process. That's an internal WMATA process, mm-hmm. For any changes to our systems. And once that occurs, then the build can be put into production and go live. So based off that time schedule, to me, it's looking like sometime maybe midsummer, mm-hmm. that will anticipate the build being released and put into production.
Well, let customers like us know, because I'd be happy to test it with you in the Zoom to see how well it hopefully will do its job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll keep you abreast of any more updates as we get them.
All right. Any questions from any committee members? All right. Hearing the crickets. Thank you, Ms. Anderson.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Blake, the rest of this agenda is all for you. And let's see. Since there's been much chatter about abilities ride, Mr. Blake, I guess I'll let you tackle that one next, because that's probably a much more hotter topic. Well, all the others are important. You probably just want to give a brief overview of what abilities ride is and its, how can I, is the best word to say, limitations and, how Metro Access is using it and that type of thing. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. I'll try to be very brief. So Abilities Ride is a program that allows a Metro Access eligible customer to give Metro Access permission to move one or more of their trips to another provider, i.e. an Uber or generally a taxi. And under the taxi, we're still doing what we call the pilot, if you will. And because so many customers used to use taxis under Metro Access, but eventually every trip that is moved right now, if your trip is on Uber, that means you've actually signed up and said, I don't mind taking an Uber if you want to give me an Uber. That's not the case for everybody who uses a taxi, but eventually that will be the case for everybody who uses a taxi as well under this program. And the way the program works is you still have to book your trip through Metro Access. And then we run a computer program that randomly selects the trips based on criteria that we can change each day. And if your trip is selected, you get a trip at a discounted rate. And right now that discount is free of charge. It won't always be free, but for now it is free. And the key, it's a promotion. It's not an entitlement. It's not part of your civil rights, but it is a promotion that complements the Metro Access service. And nothing has changed thus far. We're a little behind some things I wanted to do. I am looking at adding a couple of more providers and doing some things like that. But right now we're just moving forward. So far through this year, through March, we've done 405,000 trips on Ability Drive and over 1 million trips on Metro Access. So we've been pretty busy this year, and that's a good thing. That means you all are traveling and folks have places to go and they want to get there, and we're utilizing all the resources we have available. The other way your trip could be on Abilities Ride is if your Metro Access trip is running late and you're willing to take an alternative at that point, we may place your trip on an Uber or a taxi if your Metro Access trip is running late. But that's basically the gist of the program. It's an alternative opt-in program. You book your trips on Metro Access, and then if you're selected by the lottery machine that day, it was like winning the pick three, you win a free trip. If you don't win the pick three that day, well, you ride on Metro Access from $4 to $6.50, but soon it's going to be just for $4. So that's kind of the way I like to look at it. It's your daily lottery.
So my question before I see Doris's hand goes up for you, or two questions, is number one, you're saying that possibly you're looking at other providers in the future. Will this be providers perhaps where the demand is the greatest, like in Maryland, where you have the largest set of customers, like PG? Well, yes, there's Uber for the whole region, but that, or maybe another option in Northern Virginia, are you looking at? And is there also another provider similar to Uber where it can service the whole region as another alternative for y'all to have?
Yes to all of the above.
Oh, okay. All right, Doris, you are up. You had the first hand, 3 minutes, and then followed by Vanessa and the newest watching the time clock. And then followed by Doris, you're going to go first, followed by Vanessa and then Sandy.
Thank you, Paul. I was just wondering two things. One is, I'm not entirely understanding when the option of shifting your ride is offered to the person, because it sounds like it doesn't happen until maybe there is a need that WMATA has, and that's why the ride is for free. So I'm trying to understand that, and just asking as curiosity, because I'm not a Metro Access rider, at least not now. And then the second thing is a question regarding the providers, and it's this. It I think it might be a benefit to everybody in the region if WMATA, through the Metro Access System, were able to say to these alternative providers, we will contract with you, but we need you to ensure a certain number of WAB vehicles in your fleet, a certain percentage of WAB vehicles in your fleet that can answer rides in a timely manner. So I'm wondering whether you would do it. It's kind of similar to what some of the jurisdictions, at least over here, have done. Fairfax County, for example, says you have to maintain at least 6% of your fleet. This is only the taxis because Uber is not regulated very well in Virginia, but I think it should apply to them as well. So I'm just curious about those two things.
All right, Mr. Blake.
Two good questions. So the reason why the fare is free is because it was a promotion. I wanted to get as many people willing to try it. And one thing we know, in America, when you're trying to sell something or trying to get people into something, free is one of the easiest and fastest ways to do that. So this was a discount. It won't always be free. So, but it is a win-win. The way I look at it, I'm trying to give a win-win for the customers. In other areas of the country, they offer Uber and enhanced taxi services and things like that. But you often, for those programs in those areas, their strategy was to charge you more than the paratransit service itself. And in the ADA, there is language related to premium services. We've seen that. I've had experience with that in other places. I've decided to go totally the other way. I've said my lessons learned says to me is that instead of making this a premium, let's make it a discount to encourage more and more people to use it so that the benefits spread not only to those who can afford it, as it were, in other places, but also to the people who remain on the dedicated service as well. That's why it's free. But again, it won't always be free, and it's not an entitlement, and it's not a civil right. In terms of the waves, demand for waves, requirement to have waves in the fleet is in our solicitation, but an absolute requirement for a fixed number of waves is not, and partly is because Abilities Ride is not a same-day on-demand service. We book our trips, generally speaking, the day before, although sometimes we will book some trips on the day of. As I pointed out, if your trip is running late, you may ask for an Abilities Ride trip as an alternative to Metro Access. We are absolutely committed to doing things we can to help these companies invest more in their waves. And when you look at, how do I put it, the investments we've made in these local companies by utilizing this program versus just partnering, and we love our partners, they're on this meeting, you've heard from one of them already, but just partnering with large, huge global companies that are part of the Metro Access service, I think you will see that Metro Access, at least in my time, and that's all I can speak about, has made a significant investment in these local taxi fleets in an effort to help them not only be sustained, but also to grow their wheelchair accessible vehicle fleets as well.
Thank you. Next is Vanessa. Hello. Followed by Sandy.
Yes, hi, thank you, Vanessa. Mr. Blake, could you please explain to the audience how, if you decide, for those that have taken the Ubers, that if you decide not to take your Uber, you still have to do a 2-hour previous to cancel your Metro Access side?
Okay, I missed that. Say that one more time. If you decide not to take an Uber.
Your Uber, because you have to still schedule Metro Access.
You still have to schedule Metro Access, but we send you a link to your Uber trip if you won the lottery that day.
Right.
If you decide not to take your trip.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do anything.
So you don't have to call Metro Access and cancel the Metro Access side?
No, you do not. You only have to call Metro Access to cancel a Metro Access 2 hours in advance if your trip is on Metro Access, but if we sent you a trip to, I'm just trying to think of some place. If we sent you a trip, Ms. Coles, to the Costco, for example, but you decided this morning it's raining or I'm just tired and I don't feel like going to Costco today, but you have Uber link to go to Costco, you don't have to call us. But if you booked a Metro Access trip and your trip is to Costco and you didn't get an Uber link, so your trip is on Metro Access, then you do need to call Metro Access to cancel that trip or it will be counted as a no show.
I understand that. I just wasn't clear on the Uber side because I always do. So I didn't know I didn't have to.
No, you don't have to.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Sandy, you're up next.
Hi. So my question is, when you contract with Uber for Abilities Ride, are all Uber drivers alerted when I click that button that I'm ready for my ride, or is it a small subset? That's question one. And question two is, do these drivers receive a tip? Like I would give them a tip if I was calling an Uber ride on my own as a public citizen. So two questions. Thanks.
Yeah, those are great questions, Sandy. So on the first one, it goes to every driver unless we've asked for a specific driver to be excluded from our program. And that's only been a handful of people. So to a larger question of your point is when you click on that link, there is no affiliation with Metro Access or anything of the sort when the driver chooses to accept your trip. You're just a regular Uber passenger. Now, to your point, and I do know we're doing thousands of trips a day with them. Maybe it's not that. Yeah, it's about 1,000. And here are thousands of trips where at this moment, because you're not using the Uber app or your personal funds, there is no way for you to give an Uber driver a tip. And so, yeah, that's a downside from the driver's perspective. They don't know that because their tips aren't cash. Their tips are through the app. But the way I look at it, yes, these are trips that they're not going to get a tip on because there's no way for the customer to tip them unless you choose to give a driver cash. And I'm not on here encouraging that. But the way I look at it is, yeah, they won't get tips on these trips, but here are thousands of trips a day that Uber or a taxi, because the taxis can't get tips either because we don't have a way because you're not paying directly for them. These are thousands of trips that they otherwise wouldn't have without this program. So they're getting revenue that they otherwise would not have. They're just not getting revenue. They're just not getting tips in addition to the revenue.
All right. Next, I see Deborah Fisher. You may go. 3 minutes.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher here. My question is, I assume, Mr. Blake, that the drivers know that these are contracted rates when they are getting a Metro Access call. Is that right?
Now, which drivers are we speaking of?
The Uber drivers.
No, with the Uber drivers, all they know is they're picking up a customer. They have no other, there's nothing special about the Uber trips.
So they don't, okay. I ask only.
Drivers, let me say this though. The taxi drivers are aware because the taxi drivers have to be made apprised by their respective firm not to ask the customer for a fare.
I see.
But the Uber drivers do not.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because my elderly parents in Boston have run into problems where they use the ride, which is the equivalent of, I guess, the Montgomery County system. And they were stood up clearly because the drivers knew that these were contracted rates. And they had a terrible time in a couple of cases actually getting scheduled transportation. So my first question is that, and then the second is when you do connect with an Uber driver, is there a way to ensure that if it's a wheelchair user that they're getting an Uber vehicle that's wheelchair equipped?
Okay, two great questions. So in Boston, and they, I know they've changed their program a bit. They actually got their program off the ground a little before ours because we gave them our business plan when we were a little nervous to start it. It's a long story anyway. But Boston does theirs slightly different. If I'm not mistaken, but again, they've changed it now, but if I'm not mistaken, and you could correct me because you have the experience with your parents, Boston is subsidizing a portion of the fare, but the customer has to pay another portion of the Uber fare. Is that not correct?
No, I think they're paying a fixed fare, or it may even be free. Whatever it is, it's somehow what happened is they used two systems. They used GoGo Grandparent and they used the ride. And it turned out to be the same driver and he didn't show up.
Right. So
and left them stranded.
So yeah, so something to that effect. But the point is, yes, they have a sort of controlled system.
Okay.
This here, what we're trying to do is say customers who sign up, you're saying you have a disability, but you have the ability to independently utilize Uber and you don't mind if Metro Access sends you some of those trips. Wherever you're going on Metro Access for whatever purpose, that's why this is a open, permissionless system, if you will. It's all a matter of do you win the lottery that day or not. So your trip on Uber is no different than my trip on Uber. Mr. Semelford and I can be going to the exact same place, exact same time, exact same pickup and drop off, and Uber One should treat Mr. Semelford exactly the same as Uber Two would treat me because there is no difference between us.
Okay.
Now, to your second question, customers who sign up and opt into the program, one of the 8 questions on the questionnaire is, do you need a wheelchair lift or ramp for any of your trips? If your answer is yes, then whether the lottery picks you for a taxi cab or for Uber, the key is that it will look for a wheelchair accessible vehicle for you and not send you just a sedan.
Okay.
But that's incumbent on the customer letting us know in the questionnaire that their trips need wheelchair.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Rico.
If I can just point out something.
Can I let Rico go first?
Okay. It's the same in this vein. It's the same thing.
Okay. I can let you go after. I just need to get Rico because Rico requested to be. Rico, go ahead with your question that relates to this topic here.
Rico, you are on mute. So
please in terms of abilities, ride.
Sorry. I have a question for you, Mr. Blake. If I have a, the thing where you fold when you push your grocery in, I forget what you call it now, the cart.
Yeah, cart, right.
Okay, if I have a cart, if I'm going to my favorite store, Costco's, so that's where I go all the time. So if I have a cart, Costco sells in the box. Do we have to use Uber for that, or can we use Metro Access in advance for that?
Okay, so the answer is yes. Unless you say that particular day, I'm going to the grocery store, I'm going to Costco, or I'm going to the laundromat. Today, I prefer Metro Access. Don't send me an Uber. That's a choice of the customer. Keep in mind. We want Uber drivers to be kind and courteous and friendly, but I'm going to just give you my own personal experience. I've come from places getting out of BWI, flying in from Miami or wherever I've gone. Some Uber drivers are very friendly. You know, they pop the trunk, then they jump out the vehicle and help put the luggage in the trunk. There are other Uber drivers, they'll pop the trunk, and you're waiting for them and they sitting there, they looking at you like, how long is it gonna take you to load this trunk, dude? I got things to do. So you have to understand your own ability to load that trunk, because the Uber driver may assist you, or he or she may not. On Metro Access, yes, you can bring your car to a certain extent, and I know Allison will clear me up on that, but remember, only 40 pounds, and it has to be able to be secured. So going to Costco, as I like to use the example, and buying 8 cases of 40 packs of water, you're not going to get much support from a Metro Access operator or probably an Uber driver on that. So you just got to be aware that we are a public transportation service. And in certain cases, if you need more support, you know, you should bring them along with you if you get my drift.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I see two hands. I know Vanessa, you spoke, but we got 3 more agenda topics to get through. Can you save it for public comment, please? Because I see Doris's hand after that. Can you please save it for public comment? Thank you. Doris, can we save it for public comment? We do need to move on with 3 other agenda topics as they're timely.
Oh, it was real fast, Paul.
Can we save it for public comment, Doris? I'm asking both Vanessa and Doris. I'm sure you'll remember it, because we do need to move
on.
We'll see. All right. Thank you.
Right along with Rico's question.
All right. Thank you so much. In the interest of time, and I will have y'all both down for public comment after any other public members. My last comment for this one to close out, Mr. Blake, is I've noticed in the even though it's web-based for Uber, it has kind of integrated in that it requests me to open my own personal Uber account, because now even in my own personal Uber account, I can see all my abilities for ride trips. They show zero cost, and it also allows me to, and maybe that's an unintended effect, but it actually works for me. When it goes through my phone app to open up for the trip, from that sent as a Metro Access trip with the link, I'm able to text the driver, which has been helpful in some cases in getting them, if they're at a wrong location, even though it's the correct address, to get them to hopefully come there. And that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, and that's fair. And I know you mentioned that.
Yeah, and I know I see all my abilities ride trips now mixed in with my personal trips on my trip history and my personal Uber app. And that's perfectly fine.
Right. I'm just letting you know, I've been trying to replicate that, and I just haven't. And I've tried it on an iPhone as well as an Android. As long as it's not costing you money.
No, it's not, because it says zero for all those trips.
Right. That's a good thing. But theoretically... Technically, it's not supposed to work that way. They're really supposed to be separate, because we're not supposed to be intermingling your personal trips with these. But I know it has something to do with your phone number, I'm sure. I haven't been able to replicate that, but I'm working on trying to see that just so I can make sure it doesn't create problems in the future. But as long as you're not reporting any issues right now.
I mean, the only benefit it gives me going through my app is I'm allowed to text the driver, like saying, hey, you're over here, I'm over here for this same address.
No, I got you, but I could do that too. Okay, but I'm with you. We're going to keep working together. I'm going to one day catch up with you so I could try to just see what you're looking at, so I could try to replicate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, Mr. Blake, if this is helpful, and Alachua County, what they do is, the abilities ride that we have down here, they pay for your Uber trip. And so they get with Uber so that we have our regular account with Uber. And if it's an abilities ride, you just click it. A little notice comes up when you booked a ride and it says, is this abilities ride or is this your regular account? And this is all done through Uber. And so if it's abilities ride, then it goes and there's a $5 copay. If it's your account, you get charged the full amount. And so you can probably negotiate that with Uber so that they take the individual app of people like Paul or like me. And so when we book our Uber ride, when it comes for the part where you say, how are you going to pay for it? You get a choice of your own credit card or abilities ride. And so that way you will have two separate records. You'll have the abilities ride record separate from the Paul's personal Uber ride.
Now, I like that.
You can probably negotiate that with Uber.
All right. Here's my only question on that part, because this is maybe where we're a little different than, and I like that part of Florida, by the way, if that's what we're talking about, the same place. But here's the difference. Before you take an Uber trip, let's say to the golf course, I'm just trying. Do you have to book that trip with your local paratransit? And does the paratransit have the choice, or do you have the choice to utilize that service on your own and you just pay the copay?
Yes, I get that choice. I book it directly. It doesn't go through my paratransit service,
right?
Which is MV Transit. So I don't call MV Transit and then they decide to put me on an Uber. So if I want MV Transit, I book it with MV Transit. I want Uber, I book it with Uber. And then Uber asks me, do I want to pay for it? Or do you want to let Alachua County seniors pay for it?
All right. Thank you so much. I do need to move on.
Yeah. So that's just one difference with us. We still need to maintain, for the sake of cost control and fairness to everybody. See, that's more like a premium service that I was describing earlier to, I think, Doris. Whereas we're a random pick among everybody to give everybody a chance to win the lottery type of program.
Sounds good. But we only get 5 of those a month.
There you go. Okay, there you go.
All right. Thank you so much. Next, we're going to move to an update about, I'm going to skip around. I want to do flat fare first, since we're coming up to, I think you promised Friday, June 25th, everything should be set. How are we getting this word out to customers now? We're in the month of May, and we're about almost 6 weeks out until, or maybe less than six, a little bit over, about 6 weeks out until we this goes into effect, and educating customers as to, you know, you have, you know, a flat fare up to $4. There certainly it can be based on, you know, but bus and rail. You could have a fare that's less than that, but up to $4 max. Right. How are we getting that word out between now and June 25th?
So beginning June 1st, you're going to be hearing the IVR messaging. You're going to be hearing messaging at the end of the reservationist scripts. And there's going to be an update to the Metro Access customer guide. So we don't want to start too soon and create confusion. Obviously, we don't want to start too late and everybody not know. But given that this is one of those kind of betterment type of things where you're just going to, if you thought you were going to pay $6.50, well, no, hello, you're going to only pay $4. So, but we're going to be getting that information out, and we're trying to do it in conjunction with the same time we're getting information out about the scheduling window, which is probably going to be more complicated than the flat fare. So we want to make sure the customer is getting all the information and can digest it and understand it. But we want to do it in a sort of compact way, again, so it doesn't cause confusion. But we also want to do it far enough in a way that people understand what's coming forward.
Yeah, it is complicated. So remember, it will be flat on the weekends and late at night. But other than that, it will be a maximum of 4, but still calculated the same way, but no more than 4. It'll still be twice the comparable trip. And so if the trip includes a free ride in DC, if that gets past the council, it'll be twice 0. Yeah, that's great. But it will be no more than $4. But the flat fare is truly a flat fare only on the weekends and late nights. And at those periods, it really is going to be flat. It'll be $4 since everything is going to be $2 on bus and rail.
All right. Mr. Blake, since you already led into the other topic, I guess the other, you say, is more complicated. How are we going to begin to approach the piece about the pickup window change that right now I'm hearing for you? Hopefully we'll be able to, I guess, implement that as of July 1st. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the same deal. June 1st, you're going to begin hearing IVR messaging. And we're going to wait a little later when it comes to the reservationist discussing the matter as part of their script. But we're also going to be updating the customer guide beginning June 1st as well.
Now, also, will that script be changing for Where's My Ride agents? Because they are part of that whole group of educating the customer, since customers call into that major portion slot, obviously,
frequently. Yeah, I guess I think that's fair. I think we're probably, once at that point, it'll be closer to the middle towards the end mm-hmm. of the month. Because again, Where's My Ride, we don't want to confuse too much. And when customers are calling for that, it's usually about service right away. But you're going to be getting more and more information through the agents, but primarily through IVR and through the update of the customer guide.
And I'm looking at Ms. Anderson on the screen. I'm assuming that hopefully, as she's revising this online with her team, that hopefully it'll be done around July 1st, which I'll say.
We follow Mr. Blake's lead. So
oh, okay. Yes. Are there any questions about these two topics?
Sure, Samaford, just to clarify for everyone, it's two topics about the fares and the window, pickup window.
Because one goes into effect, which is the fares on Friday, June 25th, and with the window change July 1st, within a week after that.
That is correct.
No hands up except Vanessa and Doris.
But they're trying to save for public comment, yes, what they had to say. Last is about the minivans, Mr. Blake. We just wanted to get an update. I know Ms. Rush will speak to this as to when we might see possibly a first one on the road to test.
That's a good question. People are busy, let's put it that way. And so trying to get certain paperwork and things done, it just takes up some time. So our goal, I think our goal was like June. Are we going to have one on the road June? I'm not certain about that, but we're working, but we've got to get certain things done, and folks are very busy. There's a lot of things happening in the whole WMATA authority, and so we're trying to get them as soon as possible. But I have an update, something much more certain than that.
Go ahead.
And on June 1st or 2nd, because I saw a demo today and I tested it out, and I was very pleased. Now, I know between you, myself, and Mr. Torres, as an example, there's like a whole world of difference in perspective as to what's good or not. So, and I'm going to respect that and I appreciate that. But June 1st, certainly no later than Friday, June 2nd, you'll be the first one to test out the mobile or web or desktop based Where's My Ride.
Ooh, yes.
You're gonna get to log into the system. You will need to log in, answer three questions, and you'll then have an account. And what's gonna happen is every time you log into that website, if you have a trip that's on its way to pick you up, rather it's an hour away from you or 20 minutes away from you, it will show on your mobile phone or on your computer that you're using at the time. Again, I saw it today. It looked good to me, but I do want to hear from the customers. I want to hear your feedback and talk about the accuracy and all that kind of good stuff. But this is in a test environment. Technically, June 1st or June 2nd, we're going live, but we're only going live with a handful of people. We're going to start with you, then just continue to grow it out. And unless there's some fatal flaw that you discover, I wouldn't hold you against finding it because I know you're good at this stuff. But unless you find some kind of fatal flaw, we're just going to keep it open and then just allow people to continue to add to the growing list of customers who would use this website on their phones or on a computer to look at where their trip is, how far away their trip is from them.
So with this going on June 1st or June 2nd, how would the information come to the selected customers? Will it be by text or by email?
Well, we're going to contact you first, and then we want to see how you make out over the weekend, and maybe Mr. Torres and a few others. I know so many of our customers are now using Uber on this committee. We got to kind of take y'all off of Uber and put y'all back on Metro Access. But
I'm very willing to try this. Eager. So
we're going to reach out to you and then others who we want to hear from as part of the stakeholder advisory, if you will. But then we're just going to continue to roll it out to customers. And again, that'll be IVR messaging and perhaps text messages just to be able to share the link with customers who are interested.
Mr. Rush, I haven't heard from you. Any questions before I entertain other people on any of these topics? You're quiet tonight, Ms. Rush. Okay.
I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. All right. Any questions from any other committee members about any of this, new rollout?
Rico, updates? Doris, and Vanessa.
And I'll jump in there.
Oh, Pat, I'll take you right now.
Okay, thank you, since I'm on a cell phone here and I don't want to disturb anybody. Well done, sir. I'm looking forward to looking at that app. We've been looking for real-time data for years, so this is great news.
Yes.
Good.
So we'll make sure we add you that weekend as well.
Okay.
And make sure Beautiful. I can just make sure we don't send any of your trips to Uber, but we'll, and the goal of this is to make sure it works first for Metro Access, but eventually, if your trip is on a taxi or an Uber, theoretically, even though now you're saying, Paul, you can see the Uber trips on your own Uber app, and I know the link gives you the Uber information, but we're hoping to have it all integrated at some point, but that's a little down.
So when you say integrated, is that with Abilities Ride? Mr.
Correct.
Mike.
That means yes.
Oh wow. Okay.
Your trip
Good.
Is on Abilities Ride. You should at some point be able to follow that trip live, just like you're following the Uber
right.
trip. But just as a warning, Uber has 2,000 and some odd engineers who just have to focus on how making their vehicle look cute on a cell phone. We don't have that. You got Chris Blake. And a handful of contractors trying to please the customers. So it's not going to look as cute as Uber. Let's just put that out on the table right now.
Hang
on, Paul. Hey, Paul. Sorry. And then I'll go back on mute. Just one question. The one thing that would be great is if it's easy for me to leave a message indicating this is who I am. I have a white cane. I'm wearing these clothes. That last 5 minutes away from the drive, 20 feet away from the driver helps him spot me and helps me know that he is at least looking for me. That would be great if that's in this, whether it's paratransit or Abilities Ride, being able to leave a message easily like they would in Uber or Lyft would be great.
That's much further down the line. We're going to get
okay. That's good.
June 2nd. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I get. Oh, okay. A future feature. That's fine, sir. I'll take what I get.
Yes.
Good. Sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Paul, back to you. Yeah.
Well, what I will say is, like, again, with my MTA app in New York, I'm able to see a little car that's just a black little car move around on my screen. And if they send it to like broker services, they're able to integrate those contractors and it'll give additional information like license plate number and stuff like that. Once they assign a vehicle and I can see it on the screen in terms of my, how far it is from me. So hopefully we can get to that. That will be an ideal situation.
Let me just answer. So June 2nd, it won't have, again, the taxis and the Ubers, June 2nd. These will just be Metro Access. And the icon, now this is in honor of Denise Rush. Right now, it won't be a little black car. It'll be a picture of a cargo van. So that's what the icon looks like right now. It looks like that cargo van this Rush always talked about. But one day that'll change when we make it a little cuter. But June 2nd is going to be the Metro Access vehicle that's coming to pick you up. And once it's on its way, then you will see where the vehicle is located, how far away we believe it is at that moment, and how the traffic could be the red, which is standstill, very backed up traffic. Traffic could be yellow, which is slow. It could be green, which is mild or good. So we're trying to give ideas there as to what your estimated arrival time is going to be.
So that's useful information, because like on that date of that weekend, I'm going to be in Bull Run Park. And when the driver says I've arrived, I can say, this is where the driver is in the park. You need to direct them here. So that's good, useful information.
And the new icon should be a little Tesla.
I know that's right. There you go. We're going to get there. We're working on that.
Sure, Dean can.
All right. It is 5:31. I guess I need to start with public comment period. And I see hands going up. Anu, you can give the spiel and help me with the order of people. But take public first and then AAC members. Because sure. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of hands. I already see the hands going up.
I just wanted to remind everyone that during public comments, we will have 3 minutes per speaker. I would try to alert you 30 seconds ahead of your time ending, letting you know that 30 seconds at 3 minutes, I will tell you 3 minutes. We are practicing this to make sure that everybody who's trying to make comments gets an opportunity to do so. If we have any additional time remaining and any of the members of the public or AAC members have additional comments or questions, we can definitely come back to you in the order and take your comments at that point. So beginning with members of the public, I see Jay Marlin, followed by Janice Samuel, Amanda Hellman, and if we don't have any other members of the public, we will take AAC members, Vanessa Coles, Doris Ray, and then Rico Dancy. So Jay Marlin, go ahead. And when you start speaking, your 3 minutes will begin at that point.
Thank you very much. This is Jamie Marlin. I am not a customer. I am a contractor for WMATA with TransDev. So I just wanted to reach out and say, this is a phenomenal idea, what Mr. Blake was just talking about. I think this is going to move forward for everybody, including our contractors, as far as where's our line and everything like that. I think this is a great movement. And I see where he's moving forward towards to help everybody to realize where we're at. And I just wanted to take the time out. I usually don't speak during these things, but I just wanted to say that this is a phenomenal idea.
Thank you. So much for those comments. Next is going to be Janice.
Hi, this comment is regarding communicating with the drivers through the Abilities Ride program, the Uber drivers. Currently, when I get a link or a text message identifying who the driver is, what the make and model of the vehicle is, there's also a message there that says, if you need to contact the driver, you know, you can contact him here. So you currently have that ability to say, you know, I'm standing out here with my white cane wearing blah, blah, blah. But some of the drivers, and I don't know if we can communicate this to Uber, if WMATA can communicate this to Uber, but some of the drivers have it blocked. So when you hit that number, it they can't pick it up. They don't pick it up. So some don't, you know, some you can say, hey, I'm standing here on the corner in a red top, and that's great, and it makes it easy to be located. I don't, since from learning that they don't know that it's a WMATA ride, you know, I guess they're, you know, if it's blocked, it's blocked. I don't know if there's anything that WMATA can do, or, you know, in communicating to Uber that we'd like to make certain that we can communicate with the drivers.
I'm going to let Mr. Blake respond to that, because there's been times I try to call and it goes straight to voicemail.
Right, right.
So, and this is another one of those cases, once we're out of the metro, I mean, I don't even know if I can advocate for that, because some people, and I know I used to try this, I need perhaps go back to it, block their numbers while they're driving so that they're not distracted. Sometimes, I don't know if you ever text somebody and you get an automatic reply, I'm driving, can't respond. And I can't say that's why they're doing it. Some are probably just doing it because they don't want to talk to the customer. And we know that there are people like that as well. It's one of those things where, again, we want Uber to be as great as it can for the customer, so that customers are willing to choose to utilize their abilities to move beyond just the nest of Metro Access. But for regulatory purposes and other reasons, we can't really dictate their service.
Right.
The program, like was being mentioned in Boston, well, they have a little more control, but they also have other limitations. Here, we want you to be free. We're not trying to pick where you go, how long, how much, or anything. It's, did you book a Metro Access trip? And if that trip is booked, and you win the lottery, you can utilize this Uber trip. Once we
right, understood. I only got 3 minutes. I only wanted to mention it because you were saying that in the new mobile app, you're going to have an option to, you know, reach out to the driver. So we already have that capability.
Correct. You have that capability now. But even if we integrated it into the Metro sponsored website that you will be utilizing in the future, changing the rules of how a driver would react, especially if it's a driver who doesn't work for us, that's a little more challenging.
Understood. And it's all part of the whole abilities umbrella too. Understood.
All right. Thank you so much. Amanda, you are up next for 3 minutes.
Okay. Hello. I guess my main thing is the flat fare up to $4. That's effective June 25th. Is that what you said?
That is what Mr. Blake stated.
Okay. And also, I guess I got confused when someone added that it's only going to be in the evenings and on the weekends. So I'm thinking maybe I had a misunderstanding from the beginning, because I thought it was just period. So you're saying that during the evenings and weekends is when it's going to be up to $4, and the rest of the time on Metro Access, you'll be paying whatever the rate is? Or am I
all right, so
am I totally confused?
So right now you are paying currently right now, Mr. Blake or Ms. Anderson will correct me if I'm wrong, on weekends and after 9:30 p.m. currently in the evenings, there's that flat $4 fare rate, because that's on bus and rail. All other times is dependent on distance of the trip, that type of thing, paying up to $6.50 cap. As of June 25th, your fare will can be anywhere $4 or under, but with a cap of $4 after June 25th.
And that's any time of day, whether and any day of the week.
That is correct.
Oh, okay. That was my initial understanding. So I guess okay. All right. And let's see. I think that was so that includes bus and rail in that $4. In other words, if you, well, I guess you can't really transfer.
Only speaking to Metro Access right now.
Okay, period. Okay, got it. So, all right, so what I initially thought is what it is. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I guess now, Anu, I can go to Vanessa and Doris.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Vanessa, Doris, and then Rico.
Okay. Vanessa, you're up next.
Thank you. So I was just trying to add on to what Mr. Blake was explaining to the lady that was asking about whether or not they know, the Uber drivers know. And I have recently been getting something from the a text message from concierge, which states that an organization has issued or requested a trip for me. It gives my name, it gives my telephone number, and it says to call upon every arrival. And the driver is able to respond that they have it. So I think they kind of do know that we're different types of customers. Now, I don't know about the rate. I don't know if they, know anything about a rate being discounted, but that was something that I've noticed they added. And also one of the drivers have told me that it's highlighted in blue how trips are. So they do know that we are different types of riders. And then my other thing I wanted to ask if someone can explain to the, because I recently had consumers ask me about logging, if they missed the 4:30 reservation time, does it matter? Does it shut off at 4:30 on the website as well? I don't use the website enough.
So I can answer the website right at 4:30. Anything past that 4:30 mark p.m., it will not let you book a trip for the next day. It will let you book for the following day. That I can answer, okay. Hands down.
All right. That's it. Thank you.
And I'll let Mr. Blake answer the other questions.
Okay, so when it comes to Uber, the drivers do not distinguish between Metro Access subsidized trips and non-Metro Access subsidized trips. When it comes to taxis, the taxi drivers do know that a customer's trip is being subsidized through some form, whether it's Metro Access or somebody else, because the drivers are instructed not to collect a fare.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Was that?
I was just saying more information is given to the drivers now because they are able. Is it because I've heard them say I got it? They text back that they got it. They're communicating more with, I guess, Uber, or I don't know who this concierge is, but that system is
providing. Well, concierge is the service, or is what. Curb is a DC, is part of the Abilities Ride program, but that's taxi, that's not Uber.
So no, my Ubers are giving me those messages.
Yeah, it will say like concierge message, call the driver, the passenger upon arrival, those types of messages.
That's a message. Okay, that message is a message that if you, Paul or Vanessa, put in your Metro Access trip a pickup or drop-off comment. Pick me up at the front entrance of Costco. Drop me off at the entrance to the dialysis, which is around back. We forward that message to Uber and taxis, but there is no concierge with Uber.
Well, these are my subscription trips, so I don't give, other than the front entrance, I don't give specific information.
Right, so again, if your trip is on Curb, out of DC, that's concierge. If your trip is on Uber, you're not getting a message from concierge. Now, you are getting a message, like I saw one of your trips, I forgot which day, but one of your trips not too long ago, you got the message.
No, you watching me?
Well, I watch everybody. I'm trying to make everybody happy. But I saw one of your trips said no drivers available.
Right.
And so I just quickly, even before you had to call in, because that's one of the reasons I do it, is before you have to call the OCC, I just rebook the trip real quick because I can do it in a click. So you still get that message, but I didn't believe that was called concierge. But if it is, it may be. But those are the kind of messages you may get from Uber, that there are no drivers available. Please contact WMATA. So before you contact WMATA, I'm hoping to beat you to it by sending you a link before you even have to dial the number.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Doris, you're up next.
Yes, thank you. Number one, I wanted to mention that taxi cab companies in Northern Virginia actually, on a regular taxi ride, will call you and you know, let you know they're outside, but they also offer you to press one and talk directly to the driver. It's very helpful because if, for example, you're coming down late in the evening from my office, there are very few people on the street, and tell them I'll be down, please, you know, look out for me. But at any rate, the question that came up during Rico and the discussion about his question that I wanted to mention was I wanted to ask what training is provided to or required of Uber drivers who are driving for Metro Access rides in terms of communication with deaf people, particularly those who are native ASL consumers. And when you were talking, Mr. Blake, about coming from the airport and having luggage or whatever it is, and drivers, you know, sitting in the car, I've seen that too. I think that's very difficult if it's a deaf person, and there needs to be some both sensitivity and ADA training, I think, for those drivers to be properly responsive. And then the last thing, which is my public comment, is that I do really, really think, for the sake of equity, that it would be important to revisit the whole business about grandfathered in people versus non-grandfathered in people a dozen years after all that went into effect, because there, you know, many people in Fairfax County, and I'm sure in Montgomery and PG, who are looking for affordable housing have to live further out, and they may be Metro Access users, they may be first time, whether they're new arrivals into the area or whether they are people coming to majority and needing to go out to training and get jobs, and they can't help where they're living. And so consequently, I really think for equity's sake, we should revisit the whole thing. I've asked for some years that we revisit that whole thing and waited for it to be on the work plan, but it never has. And I think that discussion needs to be had, and I thank you for this opportunity to comment on behalf of Northern Virginians.
Thank you, and I can certainly put that up on the work plan, and I'm sure Mr. Blake is going to respond, and then we have Rico Dancy next.
Yes. Let's start with the second one first. That's an area of advocacy and advice, if you will, but I think at this stage it's more advocacy. As I've always stated to the AAC, you know, maybe Patrick and I should have, Mr. Chairman should have more prep meetings. I don't know, but you don't get prep meetings from me. You don't get talking points from me. I believe in your autonomy. And if that is something you believe in advocating for, you will not get an argument from me. I hear you loud and clear on that. So that's all I can say. I hear you loud and clear, but I would suggest you make your advocacy, you make your voice heard, and see where it goes. I will not stand in your way in the way of your advocacy. In terms of the
You know, this was brought up initially, and the reason I brought it up initially was because we got questions several years in a row from our state legislators when we went to Richmond in January about problems that were brought to them by either the parents of young adults or the consumers themselves about why they couldn't get Metro Access rides because they would have to come back into the 3/4 mile service area, and they might live slightly outside of this service area. So that's the kind of thing that came up. And again, it came from our state legislators, and we weren't able to bring any kind of word or any kind of movement back to our state legislators in Fairfax County. So thank I appreciate
you.
That.
I understand. And then right. The question in terms of the training of Uber drivers. So the training of Uber drivers is regulated by the individual state it operates in, Maryland, DC, and then the Virginia state and counties. But what I've done, and we've got to be careful because I know Doris didn't mean any harm. I've just got to continue to stress, Uber is not providing trips on behalf of Metro Access. We've got to make sure we're clear on that. Uber drivers are providing trips of Metro Access customers who opted to have some of their trips moved to Uber. Very right. Clear, two different things, especially when we're talking about regulatory wise. But what we've done is I have helped create a training program called Serving Customers with Disabilities. We built it in-house for our Metro Bus and Metro Rail colleagues. And then I converted it for taxi and Uber type of drivers. So I've shared that with Uber. I've shared it with all the taxi companies, and I always encourage them to continue to push it out to their drivers. I did it most recently when I saw a story out of New York Post where a person with a disability was using Uber, you know, just in general, and the Uber driver wasn't sensitive enough, and it could have created a lot of problems. Fortunately, the person was okay and was found and all that. But the training, the official training is officiated or regulated locally, but we have always been proactive in providing them a training that we've developed to try to help their drivers understand how to serve our customers better.
All right, we got 8 minutes left, and I have Rico Dancy, and I see Denise Rush. So let me get to those two people.
Mr. Blake, I want to thank you for the app we would do for us. Thank you so much. And my other question is, if I go out of town while I'm going in June, I'm going to visit Cleveland. So the one thing to my paperwork with the Cleveland is I catch their transit system. They door-by-door service. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. And the African Queen, please speak. Go ahead, Ms. Rush. You got the floor.
Ms. Rush, you need to unmute yourself. There we go.
This is Denise Rush. I want to speak to a concern in the area that Doris is talking about with the grandfathering. Mr. Blake is not advising us not to encourage anything that we really want, but if we really want it, we have to advocate for it. We have to show up at the board meetings. We have to talk to the senators, whoever is in charge of transportation, and act like we want it. But one person or two people, it's not going to get moved forward. There was a great concern at the board meeting about the Tacoma Park transaction, and there must have been 20 people at the board meeting showing that they're concerned. But when it's just Patrick and myself every month, we do want it. We do want the people who can be grandfathered in, but two people, it's not going to get it. So we got to act like we want it. That's my comment.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. All right, we're at 5:55. Anyone else before we adjourn firmly at 6 p.m. because that's when our interpreters leave? Going once. Yes. Oh, you want to give your spiel? Go ahead, Anu.
If I may just share how any members of the public can submit their public comments before or after the meeting or even during. They can send an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That would be metroaacchair@wmata.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you. That
concludes. All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. Like everyone, sayonara, because I need to look outside for my Metro Access trip. I will see you next month. Bye.
Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Thank you all.
Good meeting, Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah.